to the Deucecast. It's episode 26, the 26th episode of our little excursion into the podcastial atmosphere. I'm Dave, your co-host, and over here is the man who puts the Harry in Potter. That's Mikey. Say hey, Mikey.
What up?
And up in the new gets our third wheel. I mean, our third co-host. It's the guy who puts the Az in Azkaban. What's up, Matt?
I hope I sound clear. Hello, everyone.
Oh, you sound sexy.
Crystal.
Sound wonderful. Welcome back to the Deucecast Studios.
Hot.
The doctor that makes sane elsewhere into sane nowhere unless he's there. Dr. Earl.
Great to be back in the house, guys.
That's right. And, of course, a little housekeeping notes here for us. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher and Facebook and Twitter and www.thedeucecast.com. I got a great show for you tonight. Going to be talking about some cartoon theme songs a little bit later on. Got some great, and when I say great, I mean awesome music from Michael coming up.
Because, of course.
You know, it's always awesome.
It's going to be epic.
Epic fail. And so got some great music coming up, and we got a lot of stuff to talk about. Of course, last week's episode was the full-on Star Wars episode, so we missed a whole lot of news. And it's amazing how much crap can build up in pop culture
in
2 weeks.
Yeah, it doesn't take much.
So like our roundtable list is like 6 miles long. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So this is our pop culture colonic.
Pretty much, yes. We're going to clear it out.
That's appropriate with Earl.
And of course,
here.
We got some.
I will be administering that.
We got some voicemail questions. 205-6269 fun. If you have a question for Dr. Earl, he'll solve your marriage problems. He'll answer your colostomy bag questions. He'll amputate your leg. He'll make you feel better all the way around. But first, we're going to bring back the beverage tasting segment.
Oh,
that's right. Ooh. Now Michael has done this in the previous, and so this time
Hang on. Do we have any sorbet? I need a palate cleanser.
No sorbet. Okay. There's some coffee right there. Just drink that.
All right. Go ahead.
All right. So I found this at a gas station, actually the little Citgo or whatever down the road. It's called Robinson's Fruit Shoot. And it's F-R-U-I-T, shoot as in bang, as in like what you're going to do in the toilet when you sit down after drinking this. Robinson's Fruit Shoot. Apparently, this is a British drink that was made to replace like Coke and Sprite and stuff in McDonald's Happy Meals and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it's I don't think this is necessarily from Britain, but that's where this fruit shoot stuff started. I don't know who Mr. Robinson is.
Are you going to read this?
Because
I'd like to if you're not going to.
Oh, please. Go ahead.
By appointment to H.M. Queen Elizabeth II, manufacturers of fruit squashes and barley water. Barley water. Robinson's Soft Drink Limited, Clemsford.
And under it, it says, give the bottle a good shake before opening and drink up within 3 days. For hygiene reasons, we recommend that you don't refill this bottle. Warning.
How long have we had these?
That's what I'm scared of.
Warning. Britvic does not recommend the use of sports cap for children under 36 months. So, yeah, it comes in a cute little bottle. I got these for 89 cents. They're actually imported from Sunfresh Beverages. And, Dr. Earl, what flavor do you have over there?
I'm sort of nervous.
We'll be drinking strawberry and raspberry.
And I've got the berry burst.
I've got orange.
And actually, when I was researching this on the interweb today, I actually found out that there is 1/1000% orange juice actually in that drink.
Wow.
And it's
1/1000.
1/1000. Yes. And so Matt,
that's more than the percentage of Star Wars Blu-ray penetration, according to Rhett.
That's true. That's very true.
So Matt, what's your name? Matt, what beverage flavor you got up there?
Okay, well, the first question, my name is Matt. Secondly, I have apple.
All right, so
is it fruit shoot?
All right, so we're gonna let Michael try this first. So Michael,
I'm going first.
You're going first. Please give us a taste of the orange.
I did shake it up, so I followed instructions.
Shake it up.
Here, I don't have any idea how old it is, but here we go.
And
It tastes like Tang.
All right,
there's really at least mine because mine's orange, right, so it's got Tang.
Berry burst. Here we go. Ugh, that tastes like really, really liquefied grape yogurt.
Oh, gosh.
Old grape yogurt. Earl?
The time for...
Well, it is old.
Yes.
Strawberry and raspberry.
Together.
Combined.
Ooh. Oh, gosh, that... I'm trying to think what that tastes like.
That's crap.
It's like strawberry. It's and more raspberry. Strawberry than raspberry.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Matt, what's your take on the apple up there?
Let's see here. Um, hmm. It's pretty like normal. It's normal. It's not good. It's, like it's not good, but it's not like Kool-Aid. It's kind of, it does taste sort of like apple juice.
Yeah, yeah.
This is actually not bad. I could probably get used to this.
It's better than any of the other crap we've drank so far.
I'm not going to get used to it.
I mean, it's
ever.
Yeah, I don't want to drink it, but
mine's tasty.
Yeah, it's not vivacious by any means.
Vivacious.
So, yeah.
But the queen approves of it, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Well, actually, the end date is actually good on here, so it's on here. So
what's the end date?
Mine is best before March 31st, 2012. So, so I think we're okay.
Oh yeah, yeah. Mine's January 31st, 2012.
I got a bomb. I got like June 9th, 2011.
But that says produced. Look under it.
BBE is what you need to look at.
Oh yes, I'm good.
There you go. So we're fine. Now, Matt's, however, because these three that we're drinking, I bought tonight and brought in there. Matt's, I don't have no idea how old that is. So
when I came and got it, there was that berry one was in there.
Right.
So
okay.
That one that
there's two berry
that
ones
Earl
in there
is
now,
drinking
so.
Is also really old.
Oh, sweet. Well, very good.
It's good stuff. It's good stuff. It's all right.
Robinson Fruit Chew.
Godspeed, Earl.
Very nice. Very nice. So
Godspeed to the toilet.
Yes. So let's talk about our week. I guess our last 2 weeks, since we didn't talk about a week last week, other than Star Wars being a part of the consciousness of our show. So so Matt, how's your week been? How's your 2 weeks been? How you been, buddy?
Oh man, it's been a roller coaster. We had to have one of our cats put down the day that Star Wars
like insulting
came out,
the cat or what?
Yeah, we had a roast for Vincent and
Shatner roast.
Mike Tyson was there. but seriously, we had to take him to the vet and have him, you know,
that's
done away with. It was pretty sad. But then our TV went out, so we lost a family member and then a more important family member.
I'll let you decide which one's which.
That's a total joke, of course, but it was a good one.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we've been watching it like on our gigantic tube TV, watching TV, wow, watching Hulu and stuff. Let's see. Nora's doing great, and I've watched a lot of random crap. A lot of new shows have started back, so we've been, you know, catching some new shows and some old ones. Still, Sons of Anarchy is going great.
My personal favorite is Hater. That's my favorite new show on the CW.
We actually watched a piece of an episode of that, and it was
Mario
ridiculous.
Lopez.
I like how it's H8R. Yes. That's awesome.
It fits.
It does.
But no, that's pretty much it. I mean, we'll definitely probably talk about some of the stuff we watched later on.
Definitely.
But that's basically it. Like tons of Star Wars last week.
Yes.
Like last week, but probably from Friday to Wednesday, the majority of my time was taken up watching Star Wars special features.
Yeah.
Wait, was that released a couple weeks ago?
Very funny, Dave.
Okay, sorry.
Moving on.
And then this weekend, some of our friends who'd moved away recently, they moved down to Atlanta. They came up and stayed with us and got to hang out. So Justin Moore, if you're watching, it's a shout out to you.
Oh, Matt, there's no Ustream tonight. Yeah. Sorry, buddy.
No, but he might be listening to the podcast.
So Justin Moore, true. When you download this podcast on Friday morning.
Part, yeah. Like,
oh, right.
When people
you said watching, so I thought maybe you, I don't know.
Did I say watching?
You did say
I'm
watching.
Sorry, listening.
Watcher. Watcher, Harry. Mikey, how's your week been?
Man, it's been awesome. I mean, it's 2 weeks. I mean, some of the highlights for me, I'm an awards show junkie. So I watched the Emmy Awards and I really, really liked it a lot. There was the skits separate from the awards being given themselves are usually the best thing involved. And one of my favorite things on the Emmy Awards this past time was the Emmy Tones. It was a singing group that they had that would sing about each category. It was really, really good. Yeah. And it had Zachary Levi, Joel McHale, Wilmer Valderrama, Colby Smulders. Smulders?
Why does it have Wilmer Valderrama on it?
I don't know.
Is he on a show now?
He's not. I think he's coming on a show, yeah. But
is he relevant?
He's the voice of Handy Manny on Disney. Yeah.
You're right, Dave. You're right. He is very relevant then to
Handyman.
It's Handy Manny. The Disney Channel. Yeah. It's Sheetrock Hills right back, Dave.
But
I remember Handyman from A Living Color.
Yeah. The women that it was Colby Smulders, Smulders, I guess.
Mulder.
Yeah. Kate Flannery and Taraji B. Henson. They had to have at least one token African-American on there singing. So
actually, I think you say Taraji, but I think her name actually is pronounced Token.
every one of those names you said it could have been. I have no idea who any of those people are.
You don't know who Joel McHale and
exactly. I know Joel McHale, Levi? Any of the women.
Oh, the women. Kate Flannery, she plays the drunk on The Office.
Okay.
The redhead.
Meredith?
Yeah, she plays Meredith on The Office.
Meredith Grey? Yeah. Grey's Anatomy?
And,
that's awesome.
Colby Smulders is on How I Met Your Mother. She plays Allison Hannigan, the other chick.
That's Helen Pompeo.
How I Met Your Mother.
No, Meredith Grey in Grey's Anatomy.
Right, whatever. And Taraji B. Henson was It's Hard Out There for a Pimp. It's hard out there for a pimp.
You know, wait, she sang that?
She was in the movie.
I didn't know. I guess. I don't remember.
What does that do with the Emmys?
She's in TV stuff also. Anyways, I liked the Emmy Hustle Tones thing
flow.
They did. It was funny.
If you want to buy Hustle and Flow, go to www.thenewscast.com, click on the link, and go get your copy. Give us a nickel, give them $15, and you can be a heart out there for a pimp.
And then also, LL Cool J made a brief appearance in the Emmy Tones. He came out and sort of, they were singing like Glee-type music, and he came out and did a rap and wrapped them off the stage, basically, and he knocked Zachary Levi over as he was leaving the stage. It was really funny.
Can I tell you my problem with Glee?
Please. By all means, because I don't watch it.
Well, we started watching this show like 2 years ago, my lovely wife Stephanie and I, and she really likes this show because she sings very well, and she kind of gets into the whole choral group thing, and I watched it from time to time. I was never a huge Glee fan, but when it was on, I watched it, and we kind of had fun with it or whatever. I bought her the seasons for birthday, blah, blah, blah. Yes. And at the first season, it was very charming, and they sang fun songs, and, you know, it was just a cute little show.
Right.
The other night, I'm sitting at the desk in the living room, and I'm typing some stuff out. I'm typing, you know, stuff for the newscast, of course. And she's watching Glee on DVR. And I'm kind of catching it out of the corner of my eye, kind of listening to it as I'm typing. This show is so freaking gay. I mean,
it is. It is so gay.
It's so full of itself.
Nothing's anything wrong with
it. There's absolutely something wrong with it. But pirates are bad. It's so just like, look at us. We promote homosexuality. Look at our characters. We're so great. It's so self-absorbed.
Yeah.
This show is irritating and annoying now. It really is.
Yeah, it's taken a major, like,
you know, they're people
egotistical
too.
Turn.
Well, like,
I think.
No, they're not. Yeah. Like, after the first season, it was almost like, look how good we are. Let's capitalize on how awesome we are rather than just being a charming, fun show. And I feel bad.
If you ever watch like an interview with Chris Colfer, you know, the guy that plays the original gay kid, Kurt,
right?
He is like so far up his own rear,
which sucks. Because
I mean, as far as egotism,
I guess
everybody talks
sucks,
about how great he is.
I feel like I'm watching the Brandon.
You know what I mean?
They're
like, oh, you're so great, so brave.
I feel like there's gonna be some bats.
Well, no,
come
what's even worse though is he won the Emmy for being a flaming gay guy. He is a flaming gay guy. I mean, there's no stretch there. Like the people who the guy who played his boyfriend's not gay should have gotten the Emmy.
We just lost our homosexual audience, guys.
All two of them. You know, I'm sure Rhett's still listening. But anyway,
Just as a side note, I have to say, I love Modern Family. I think Modern Family is a very good show, and it does not push it in your face.
I've seen episodes of that, and those guys are kind of funny, whatever, but they're not the main characters, and they're not, I mean, they're part of the cast, and
they're equal. Just, I mean, they're kind of all equal characters.
You know, Glee is just like, we're gay, and it's awesome, and everybody should be gay, and yay, and I'm going to get on the floor, and you come behind me. It's sick. Anyway, so
it
my
rams
week.
Down your throat.
I really, I don't say ram down your throat, talking about. Anyway, so I can't remember.
This is not going well.
This is not going well at all.
I wasn't intending to go there, but
I don't even know if we're recording or not. But I can't even remember my last 2 weeks. I can't really remember what I did yesterday. You think I was?
You can remember at least what you did on Tuesday night.
Well, I know. Hold on, Tuesday night.
50-50?
Oh, that's right, because today's Wednesday. Yes, yeah. Tuesday. Gotcha. Yeah, we went to see 50-50 last night.
It was a great movie.
Michael
Phenomenal
and Sean
movie.
And my wife, Stephanie. And I guess we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But we did see a little pass.
At least an hour on 50-50.
So, yes. We'll go 50 minutes on 50-50. So it was a good show. It really was. So
surprisingly.
So, Dr. Earl, how you been?
Good. You know, my last 2 weeks were good. As annoying as Glee is, and this may be just a guilty pleasure for me, but my week has been enhanced by the fact that, I don't know if I should admit this public, but I actually enjoy the sing-off and watching these a cappella groups sing.
Sing-off's okay.
And
Sing-off's
I don't know if I can deal with Nick Lachey.
Ben Folds.
Talking all the time about these groups that sing.
Nick Lachey.
Doing this kind of like presentation. Yeah. Here they are now.
It's like he's got a PowerPoint presentation he's doing.
I love
the fact that Sean Stockman from Boyz II Men is relevant again. That makes me happy.
Yes.
And I love Sarah Bareilles.
Absolutely.
Is that the one with the cane?
I don't remember. That's the black guy.
Yeah. No. That's the one that with the low voice.
Oh,
yeah, girl.
Oh, the skinny one.
Yeah.
The super skinny one. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You know, I never meant to leave you, girl.
But anyway, I enjoy the
stick.
Ben Folds' discussion of the choir is very, you know, it's very articulate. It's very accurate. And so
He's very knowledgeable.
Very knowledgeable about how to, you know, dynamics and things that are really
he's awesome
to singing.
He's an actual musician, so. Whereas Nick Lachey, that's debatable.
Yeah, so if I need to hear
whatever
kind of music like that, I just go and watch the sing off. So
I'll tell you what wasn't good though is the X Factor. I tried to watch that this past week.
Yeah.
Apparently America doesn't connect to it either.
Well, I think America's used to American Idol, and I think people have room really for one major show like that to commit to.
Right.
And I think Idol is it. And then like I watched one episode of X Factor. Simon wasn't entertaining. Paula, where on Idol she was kind of goofy but kind of charmingly stupid. She's just stupid here, and I found her completely annoying. Didn't want to talk to her. I didn't want to hear from her. And L.A. Reid, who is the black dude, he was actually like the Simon of the group, and the whole show was boring. I mean, I found the whole thing to be boring.
Yeah, I watched the very first episode. Yeah. Didn't like it.
I tell you what, guys, every time I turn on America's Got Talent, I think they should just rename it America's Got Way Too Much Time on Their Hands.
Well, I mean,
because it is so crappy, and like the judges are horrible. And like somebody will come out and do something that's really awesome and really complex musically or something, and they'll be like, yeah. And somebody will come out and do something that's so dumb, and they'll just give them standing ovation.
You are so dumb.
That is the most inspiring thing I've ever seen. It's like so stupid.
All right, so that's going to be kind of our week. And because we had such a long Star Wars show last week and we got such a big show this week, we're just going to kind of shoot through the Music Minute, through the Smorg, and through the Buried Treasure. All that's coming back next week. However, this week we do have in the studio with us Dying with Dr. Earl.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Dying with Dr. Earl.
I'm here to answer your medical questions.
So, Earl,
are you dying Easter eggs or what?
I don't know why I'm dying, but I'm here.
We've got a lot of fans.
I'm dying to
I guess I should have been dying because of Dr. Earl.
We've got a lot of fans of yours, Earl. And
really?
I had tweeted earlier in the week that you were going to be on the show tonight.
Okay.
And just said, hey, if you've got any questions, feel free to email us or call us. And we actually got a couple phone calls.
All right. Okay.
So they're medical-esque questions. So
esque.
I just wanted to go ahead and get these played here for you. I mean, these people really need help, obviously. So we're
hold on. Let me hang my shingle out.
That's just a given. If they wrote in for this, then that's a given.
The doctor is in.
Okay, the doctor is in.
Ready. Let's do it.
Okay, this is from a gentleman named Brett Marnett. That's Brett Mar whatever.
Insurance.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, is this a deuce cast? Hey, is that Dr. Earl gonna be on there tonight? Because I got a question.
What the?
Hey, can you hear me? Earl.
Yes, I can hear you.
Hey, Earl. If you hear this, I seen you on the TV. I seen you on there one night. Man. Hey, Earl. Hey. You pretty mouth.
Glee.
I like it a lot. I'm going to come up there and see you one of these days. I'm going to watch TV tonight and see if I can't see you to get a little glimpse of you.
Wow.
I'm gonna see you for real, Earl. That's right, old Dr. Earl. Here I come. Oh, yeah. Oh, Earl. Oh, I like it. Hey, also, I got a question about this, I've been all stopped up. I don't know what to do about it. I've been eating a lot of cheese and stuff, and I can't get nothing to come out. I sat in there. And I just squeeze, and I can't get nothing to come out.
Oh my gosh!
So if you can talk about that, let me know something about that. Maybe give you some advice on what to do about it. I sure would appreciate it. All right, Earl. Hey, I'm looking forward to seeing you, Earl. That's right. That's right, buddy. Can't wait. All righty.
Yes, Mr. Marnette.
All right, well, but let me first of all say, Mr. Marnette, I do relate to you because we're trying to squeeze everything we can out of this show and nothing comes out. Not even crap comes out. It's pretty bad, so I understand.
So, what you know, he's obviously been eating too much cheese. So what can this gentleman do to alleviate that pain?
Well, I have one answer for him.
Yes.
Fruit shoot.
Oh.
Could possibly be.
Robinson's fruit shoot. Now, would you recommend the orange or the berry blast or the.
Well, I think the apple would be the thing that I would recommend the most.
Nice.
Because it's got a little extra fiber.
That's right.
It's fiber at its core.
Yes. And
it's appealing.
Yes.
Fiber from concentrate. Yes.
And if he mixes that with a little wood shavings, that's extra fiber.
Oh.
And that'll just
some
push
pulp.
That.
Maybe some pulp.
Yeah. A little pulp.
I heard that. I heard that HM Queen Elizabeth II had some issues with this. Yeah.
That's not pulp fiction. That's pulp fact.
Squashes and barley.
That's right.
That's pulp fact.
The other thing I'd say to Mr. Marnette is that it's probably, this seems to kind of be an inappropriate relationship between the doctor and the patient.
Yes.
He's making me a little uncomfortable.
Well,
right.
But whatever happens, though, you have to keep it confidential.
That's true.
You know.
HIPAA.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
And if none of that works, then we just have to go up with a stick and just shake it out.
Okay.
Scrape it out.
Well, this next voicemail is much shorter and I believe much more serious. This is a serious issue this next gentleman has.
All right.
I believe he said his name was Billy Bob. So we're going to go ahead and play this and see if we can get this one.
My name's Billy Bob. I'm calling from Alabama. And I got a question for that Dr. Earl there. I got this growth on my shoulder.
Mm.
Been there since I was born.
Yes, sir.
I just want, you know, it sort of looks like a hand just coming out of my shoulder.
Oh,
I just want to know, if I just take a saw and just lop that thing off, is there any danger in doing that myself? Or should I just come on into your office and get you to do that for me? Just let me know, you know, Billy Bob from Op.
Yeah, is that
Billy
the,
Bob?
The quality of people listening to this show kind of pisses me off. I'm gonna be honest with you.
Well, these people have some serious medical issues.
I did not know
all
the Deuce
Glee
cast.
Fans. Yes. Ironically,
apparently, Op is a hotbed of Deucecast listeners.
Yes,
but
yes.
Yeah. So normally an arm. So normally,
yeah, he's got like a
doesn't a hand
a quado like a quado growing
a
from
quado.
His shoulder.
Yeah, so the big thing is to yes, as
he
you,
wants
as
to
you
cut it off himself. Obviously, he said he wants to lop it off.
This
himself.
A lop, yeah, lop.
Heat up the bandsaw,
okay,
and as you cut, it will sear and you know cauterize the wound. So that's my
suggestion.
Oh,
so make sure it's really really hot.
Hot as ice butter.
Okay.
Nice.
Well, he did some lopping and op.
I'm sure that Brett Marnette and Billy Bob are going to be excited about the feedback that you've been giving them.
And I will probably send them a bill. So if you could give me their addresses at the end of the podcast.
Of course.
Hey, Earl, I do have a question for you.
Yeah, sure. This is going to be really legit.
It's kind of a personal one.
Whoa.
But for someone who has ingested a decent amount of several week old Robinson's fruit shoot, what do I need to do to treat myself?
Well, I guess you've heard about the whole listeria and the cantaloupe thing. So
I'm
a little bit worried. Right. The
listeria lane, yeah.
Yes. All so I would just, yes. Yogurt. I would eat a lot of that.
Which I feel like I'm drinking right now. Berry Blast. Berry Blast. Whatever.
But you had something important.
Like
I have a question.
Oh, Dave's got a question.
Oh,
actually, Earl,
question
since
night.
We're
this
here, since we're here on the show, I actually have a serious question.
Yes. Uh-oh.
My question for you is simply this.
Oh, this
how much credence do you give to chiropractic care when it comes to issues that have other things to do besides the spine? Say migraines, say soreness,
right,
say achy limbs, things like that. Because there are chiropractors out there that are like, well, with proper chiropractic care, these things will be affected. Because
right.
I know the nervous system's in the back.
Right.
Well, they also say that it's like your health, overall health.
Yeah.
The reason I ask is my wife, Stephanie, goes to a chiropractor, and she loves this. And she's the nicest lady and everything. And I've gone a couple of times, and only because I've been nagged to go. I do have migraines frequently. And she thinks that the chiropractor thinks that that because my spine's a little bit out of line, that with care, those migraines will eventually start to going away once my spine is aligned. Now, is that, and you could, I know that will go away once your spine is aligned.
Migraines.
Migraines. Yeah.
How long have you been having them, Dave? 26 weeks.
7 weeks? For me, 35 years. Now, I know that you're not giving professional medical advice because you're just giving your opinion as a learned doctor of the medical industry.
Call my legal department, please.
Exactly. Yeah.
Brad Letta, please.
I'm just curious.
So here's my take on chiropractor. There's some schools of chiropractic that promise a lot of things. They believe that if they manipulate the spine, it opens up different blood flow to different areas of the body, and it helps to bring, your natural body's healing anti-inflammatories to this system.
Right.
There's some that make pretty audacious claims, like we can cure cancer by manipulating your spine. I mean, there's some that really believe that they're doing a lot. I believe that maybe there's some benefit to some musculoskeletal manipulation. Can it help your migraines? That's a little bit of a stretch. That's my honest doctor opinion. And truth is, some people believe the more you manipulate the spine, the more arthritis you stimulate. So it does help when you open up those joints and stuff, but you have to be cautious not to do it too many times. So,
not to bore the show. We can talk about it offline, but I was just
curious.
I'm
leery of any treatment you have to receive where you have to keep going like infinite amount of times.
To me,
that's like a racket.
It's like the old thing.
Allergy injections.
The sleep racket. Disorder clinics, and I I've got sleep apnea, quote unquote sleep apnea, and so
you just snore really loud.
I had somebody tell me one time, "Have you ever known a sleep clinic to say no, you don't have sleep apnea?" So it's like that type of thing. They get kickbacks for the machines that you have to buy, and blah blah blah.
And it makes my wife feel better. Of course, she makes 28 weeks pregnant, so as long as she feels better, that's great. She's asked me to go, and I basically told her that I'm giving it until about the 1st of November, and then I'm done, and then I'm not going back because,
Helped yet?
Well, not really, because I'm only going like twice a month. And I'm like, you do it once, and then 2 weeks later, everything's back out of whack again. She's going like 3 times a week, so I can see how
it's helping. But they're going to hook you. They're going to do it where you're going to have to go back to feel normal. You're like a drug addict now.
You'll be addicted to
only going twice a month.
Charlie Sheen of chiropractic care.
But she did go to Life University, which I've also heard is kind of a little stretch.
That's the one in Atlanta, isn't
I believe
it?
So, yeah. 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 I've heard good and bad things.
University.
Well, I'm with
Who is a sponsor of the show, by the way? Congratulations to Life University for joining our show.
We're going to get so sued for that. I'm with Sean, though. A good Asian massage therapist is the way to go.
Whoa.
It's,
there is, up in Vestavia, there is something called Hulang Massage.
Oh.
And you could go there to get your Hulang massaged. So.
Oh. Wow.
Happy ending?
I'm sorry.
No, but.
Moving on.
In all honesty, as a person that used to play sports, I will say that a massage is actually really good.
Right.
I love a therapeutic massage.
So as far as the Asian massage goes, is it Japanese or Chinese? I mean, is that just based on your slant on things or what?
Jesus.
Any Oriental.
All right. Dr. Earl, what do you have for us tonight?
No.
Pretty much.
I think that we have covered it. We've got these medical questions are just have been excellent.
I will say this. I listened to you guys' Star Wars podcast last week.
Yes. Yeah.
And I do want to say that the midichlorians are based in the concept of there's something in our body and our cells called the mitochondria.
Oh.
And there's a belief back in the old days that it was actually its own separate organism and it somehow got taken into our body. Now, I don't necessarily believe this, but this is some theory. So people think that George Lucas took the idea of mitochondria, which is actually the energy producing, and transmuted it into midichlorians.
Yeah, makes sense.
It's kind of an energy source type thing to channel.
Suck it, Rhett Barnett.
So there you have it. There's the scientific take on the midichlorians.
Nice. I know that
you referred to a Star Wars cast. I thought it was a hate cast.
Oh.
I know that Brett Marnett would be happy about that answer.
I was thoroughly jealous.
He loves Star Wars prequels.
Brett Marnett is a huge fan.
Brett also watches Logo a lot, too. So,
obviously by that voicemail, we can tell that's the case.
So a few weeks back, we talked about our favorite television theme songs. And because the songs for theme songs are so expansive, we kind of wanted to break them up into regular television, like live action, and then cartoon theme songs. So tonight we do part two of our theme music, and that's our favorite cartoon theme songs. It doesn't matter if it's Saturday morning. It doesn't matter if it's late at night. It doesn't matter if it's prime time or syndicated.
Yeah.
A cartoon or a cartoon-based animated.
Animated yeah.
of some sort.
Yeah.
Claymation, Robot Chicken, whatever. Animated theme song.
Yeah.
Your big three. So we're going to let Michael go first if you want to
Sweet.
Skip honorable mentions or your big number three, however you want to start.
Hey, I'm going straight into my number three just because I'm super excited about playing this. This cartoon actually originated as a cartoon within a cartoon. I don't know if anybody remembers Animaniacs, but they had a lot of good shorts.
Yeah.
They had the pigeons.
Yes.
You know, they had a bunch of good shorts, but one of my favorite that ended up into its own cartoon was Pinky and the Brain. So this is my number three.
Chief, mate, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
The Pinky and the Brain. Yes, Pinky and the Brain. One is a genius, the other's insane. The laboratory mice, the genes have been sliced. The Pinky and the brain. Before each night is done, their plan will be unfurled by the dawning of the sun. They'll take over the world. The Pinky and the Brain. Yes, Pinky and the Brain. Their twilight campaign is easy to explain. To prove their mousy work.
We are going to let the whole thing play, right?
Let the whole thing play, man.
Sweet.
Yeah.
And the brain.
Nerf!
Love it. Love it.
That's like my favorite.
That's awesome. All right, well.
One of my favorites.
I'll give you some honorable mentions I have of mine. And it was really difficult because I was trying to differentiate the theme songs from the shows I really loved, because there are some cartoons I just loved. And the theme songs were great, but I didn't want to bring them out as the best theme songs ever if I just liked the show itself. So Scooby-Doo is one of those examples. I used to love that cartoon. Yeah, the theme song's okay, but it's an honorable mention of mine. Phineas and Ferb, the show on Disney Channel now. It's a great show. And, of course, Tailspin and DuckTales. DuckTales is one of the greatest theme songs of all time.
Ooh!
But and actually, it was my number three until I kind of listened to some of these theme songs today, and I had to come across this. Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
This opening is awesome.
Well played, sir.
Hey. It's Fat Albert, and I'm going to sing a song for you.
By the way, this movie was an abortion.
Yeah, it really was. It was.
Pretty terrible.
Yeah.
What's going on, Fat Albert?
I love Mushmouth.
Bill Cosby coming at you with music and fun. And if you're not careful, you may learn something before it's done.
That's right.
So.
And I would guess that my 3A would be Bill Cosby's Picture Pages, only because I love it when he sings Picture Pages, love Bill Cosby and his Picture Pages. I love that.
Now, wasn't Fat Albert also a cartoon within a cartoon at first, and then they had their own series?
I believe so, I could be wrong. I think it was...
was it on the Jefferson?
I think it was on the Tracy Ullman show. And it broke off like The Simpsons did.
No. So, Matt, what do you got for us?
Well, I was going to include The Simpsons in this because, of course, I'm like a mega Simpsons fan, and everything to do with The Simpsons is like my favorite. But I kind of am lumping all these shows as kind of different than that. It's like a more of like, I almost think of The Simpsons as like a real show.
I almost called you and told you not to include The Simpsons because that was too easy for you. So.
Yeah, I mean, it really was. But
well,
I mean, one of the ones I'm doing is going to be super easy anyway. But yeah, other honorable mentions, definitely DuckTales. G.I. Joe, I think, has an awesome theme.
Oh, yeah.
But Stephanie, we were watching some. Stephanie's favorite, Gummy Bears.
Yeah,
that literally is like her favorite one.
It's a classic.
And Tailspin. Those are her choices.
Yep.
But
all Disney.
My number three has got to be Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Because it has the perfect descriptions of the characters. Michael, go ahead and play that clip.
Yeah.
I love the little comments. They're my favorite.
Here we go.
He's a radical rat.
He's a radical rat.
That's a fact, Jack.
Raphael is cool, but rude.
Give me a break.
Michelangelo is a party dude.
Ever one of my favorite lines.
Nice.
That was awesome.
That was awesome.
Very, very good. One of my favorite as well.
Dr. Earl, what you got for us over there?
So I went for a little bit. These are some of you guys may not even know these, but my number three is Hong Kong Phooey.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now, if y'all have never seen this show, it was a dog that worked at a police station that would turn into this crime fighter that would wear a karate outfit and a mask over its face. And it was voiced
Isn't he like a jive talking?
And it was voiced by Scatman Crothers.
Yeah.
And the song, I can sing the song if you can't find it, but it went a little something like that. Hong Kong Phooey, number one super guy.
Yeah.
And then Scatman would be like, scoop-bop, deep-a-dop-a-doop-bop. Like, he'd do this whole scat in the middle of it. So
it's awesome. So much better that you're doing it.
It is.
I'm going to sing all of mine, by the way, so it's going to be
sweet.
Scary for you guys.
Is there a way, Earl, that next time you do your dying for Dr. Earl
yeah.
thing that you could just scat the answers. Scooby doo bop bop. Be awesome.
Well, it's Latin. There it is. Style of
that's
movie
it.
Style and a bob that just
that's
won't
it.
Stop.
When the going gets rough, he's super tough
with a Hong Kong Phooey chop. That's awesome.
Hong Kong Phooey. There it is.
Number one super guy.
Not stereotyping at all. Bad music.
Here
it
goes. Tick chong, tick chong, tick
chong. Awesome.
That's awesome. Good call,
that
Mikey.
Was great. My number two, and I hopefully I didn't steal this from anybody. I'm going to go with it. We'll just listen to it. You'll know it right away. Maybe.
That's a good one.
Oh.
Inspector Gadget.
Yeah.
This soundboard always has the best quality.
So many explosions.
And quick, a quick segue.
A lot longer than I remember.
we just got a tweet from one of our super fans, Drew, asking why Ustream wasn't on. We are trying something new. So, Drew, we apologize.
And by trying something new, that means our stuff didn't really work as well as we wanted it to. So here we go. All right, so my number two, this is a show that I used to love when I was a kid. I saw it maybe a couple of years ago. I saw the cartoon and realized how... I don't want to say crappy because it was awesome, but I realized how violent this show was when I was a kid because back then they didn't give a rip. And this show was called Battle of the Planets. It started out in Japan called Gatchaman.
Love this.
With main characters Ken, Joe, Jun, Jinpai, and Ryu. It was changed in America to be called Battle of the Planets with Mark, Jason, Princess, Keop, and Tiny.
Yes.
And eventually it was drafted by Ted Turner for his network, and they called it the G-Force with Ace Goodhart, Dirk Dehring, Aggie, Hootie, and Pee-wee.
Little Pee-wee, yes.
Little Pee-wee.
I used to love it.
Yes. But they had one of the best, like, ships ever. It was freaking called the Phoenix. It was awesome. Yes. And each one had their own little car or like extra ship that would come out of the Phoenix. Like, Princess would ride a motorcycle, and Mark had a race car, and somebody else had a plane. It was awesome.
Yeah, I don't remember this either at all.
Dave's a little older than us.
G-Force.
And
five incredible young people with superpowers.
His number one's Howdy Doody.
And watching over them from Saturn Neptune,
I remember that.
I used to draw these guys. I would spend hours drawing their outfits.
Dave just showed us a picture of the main characters, and I do remember it now.
From beyond space.
They were dressed up like birds, right?
Yeah. I've actually got some, like, porcelain maquettes of some of these figures.
Wow.
It's awesome.
How about Silverhawks?
Yeah,
Silverhawks?
Similar to Silverhawks.
Something like that. Silverhawks came after. But, no, the cool thing about it, the show was, like I said, it was violent. Because the episode I watched recently, there was one of the characters, was a professor who had gotten killed or something by the bad guy. Zoltar was the bad guy's name. Yeah. And so, like, the G-Force had gotten the professor's daughter and was trying to get her to push the button to shoot the missile to kill the bad guys. And she wouldn't do it. So Ace Goodheart slaps her across the face, knocks her across the room, and is like, "You're such a little coward." And he pushes the button. The missile goes flying through, and it, like, blows things up, and it's awesome. It's great. So that's my number
I do remember
it.
Yeah, I remember it vaguely. I don't know if I watched it, but I remember it by looking at the picture you showed us. That's pretty cool.
One more thing before we move on. I want to say this is for Matt. In the opening couch gag of The Simpsons on December 14th, 2003, The Simpsons dressed up as various anime characters, and Marge is dressed up as Princess from Battle of the Planets. Just for you, Matt. The episode is entitled "Tis the 15th Season."
Okay. Cool. Matt, what's your number two?
My number two is, when I was a kid, I had plenty of opportunities, like, before and after school, you know, on Saturdays to watch cartoons. Well, this is the one that I discovered more recently. I used to work at a daycare for 4 years, and I had to go in at 6 a.m. when the kids were very first being brought in. And when the very first few kids got there, we wheeled out this huge, like, projection TV and would watch cartoons in the morning until we served breakfast and played games and stuff. And I fell in love with this show. I still think it is one of the funniest kids shows today. There was recently a study that said that it ruins your kids' brains, but this is SpongeBob SquarePants.
Oh, nice one.
Are you ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Captain!
I can't hear you!
Aye, aye, Captain!
Oh! Who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
SpongeBob SquarePants!
Absorbent in yellow and porous is he? Nautical nonsense be something you wish.
These lyrics are awesome.
Yeah, they are. Deck and flop like a fish. Ready? SpongeBob SquarePants. SpongeBob SquarePants. SpongeBob SquarePants. SpongeBob SquarePants.
Nice.
Very nice.
Yeah, I love the stereotypical pirate talk, you know, like the sea captain talk. And it's like, if nautical nonsense be something you wish, then drop on the deck and flap like a fish. It's like, such ridiculous lyrics.
Yeah,
like,
just, it really is.
So awesome. I love it.
Dr. Earl.
I'm going to go for another classic throwback, and this is the Jetsons.
Oh, nice. The Jetsons was one of my
favorites.
Are
you going to sing it?
Well, I think we've actually got it queued up here.
Yeah, we're going to play it.
Matt was hoping for some song and dance.
Yeah, man. I want some Earl.
Here we go. It's that modern song sound.
Jane, his wife. Jazzy.
Judy was kind of hot for a
1968
cartoon character.
I'm right there with you.
Jane wasn't bad either.
What about Rose?
Ah, Rosie. Where's his boy Elroy? Is that coming up?
There you go. Yeah, his boy Elroy's coming up. That's just the clip.
That's good
whatever.
Stuff.
Right. Did you know that the guy who did Astro on the Jetsons also did Scooby-Doo?
Really?
I was a little confused by that. I couldn't believe it.
Really?
Yeah.
Spooky.
All right.
So, my number one, I sort of just want to let it play because it's I think I like this one so much because it reminded me of the Transformers soundtrack, just in the style of music that it is. But you may or may not recognize the show, but here we go. Anybody recognize it yet?
Is this Pole Position?
No. Denver the Last Dinosaur? Nobody? Nobody
Denver
remember?
The Last Dinosaur?
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Dude,
this
was an awesome show, rocking a skater dinosaur.
I think Denver was on Glee.
Oh, we're playing the whole thing. That's right.
Oh, my goodness.
People back then didn't hardly have to make any cartoon because the theme song took like half the show.
I know. Listen to this music.
This is great.
I love it. It's so awesome.
That was horrible.
I'm not going to say that was necessarily my favorite cartoon, but it was my favorite cartoon theme song by far.
All right, so this next one here, this has been a really important song in my life, and so I'm really excited to kind of share this with you guys. My favorite theme song, let's play it. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, that was my favorite Hannah Montana song. My bad, I'm sorry. My bad. So the great space coaster,
such a tease,
is a show about three young singers, Francine, Danny, and Roy, who are brought to a habitable asteroid in space by a puppet clown character named Baxter, who pilots the space coaster, a roller coaster like spaceship. The asteroid is populated by strange looking wisecracking puppet characters like Griddle Gorilla, Knock Knock the Woodpecker, Edison the Elephant, and Gary Gnu. No Gnus is good Gnus. Baxter is
forever. This is not a cartoon though, was it?
Yeah, it's cartoony. It's got a lot of cartoons in
Baxter?
It.
Baxter, you ate a whole wheel of cheese?
Baxter is
I'm not mad.
Forever on the run from Empty Promises, a nefarious circus owner, who plans to recapture Baxter and return him to the circus that he worked at before he escaped. Each episode ends with a different life lesson from 1981 to 1986. I loved this show when I was a kid. This theme song makes me happy.
No clue here.
And it's not even on DVD. Because I'd buy it.
There's a reason for that. Great Space
Coaster. I remember this.
I love this show, man.
For years, I couldn't remember what it was.
And maybe I'm stretching it to say it's a cartoon, but there is cartoons in it.
It's not. It's live action.
Shut up.
They're like an orange roller coaster.
Yeah, but they have cartoons in it.
Wow.
On the Great Space Coaster. Here comes my favorite part. Get on board. Step inside. Slowly.
God, speaking of Glee, we're only rainbows
high. Oh, there it is. There's your Glee moment.
Yeah, those rainbows.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm on a roller coaster.
Yeah.
You ready?
I'm on a roller coaster for motion.
Off we go.
Sweet.
Love that freaking nice song, man. That song is so awesome.
If the sound wasn't peaking, it definitely is now.
Well, that was this is not even on DVD anymore, and I can't even find it on DVD. So you have to throw me a bone there. By the way, before we go into Matt, I want to say
it's on beta.
It's on eBay. Sean's favorite. He listed his three here. He wasn't able to make it tonight, but he sent him in. Number three was Underdog. Number two was My Little Pony, and number one was VeggieTales. So those are his top three.
You're like a little 12-year-old girl.
Good. Get going, Sean. Get going, Sean. All right, Matt, your number one favorite TV cartoon theme song.
I don't need to introduce it. Just play it, Mike.
Cool.
Wow. Oh.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
That was a weird intro.
That's the original first season intro.
Oh, okay. I didn't recognize the intro. Love the song. Predictable. That this would be your favorite. Transformers.
I just, like, it's one of those that I can't think of Saturday morning cartoons without thinking of it. It's so unique, you know?
No, I mean, that was the original, like...
Yeah, that's season one. I've got season one on my phone, too.
I don't remember that intro at all. I remember the longer song.
Yeah, it's got that weird... like the guitar line.
It threw me off because I had no idea.
Yeah, the beginning was a little different. I'd never heard the build-up intro or something. It was good.
Sweet. So, Earl?
Earl. And by the way, before we play your number one, I want you to know that it took me a while because Regions Bank uses this song on their commercials.
Oh, really?
And it took me a long time to connect the dots because I was like, I know this song. I know this song. And finally, I figured it out. But please.
Okay, so I grew up my early childhood was in the early 70s, and a lot of the cartoons at that time were still coming out of that whole post-drug 60s era, all the people making these cartoons. So there was a show called The Banana Split Gang, which I guess truly was not a cartoon, but it had a bunch of people dressed up like gorillas running around the zoo, and this was their theme song, and they pretty much would play it all the time.
Yeah.
And so anyway, this is the Banana Split Gang theme song, and it was totally post-psychedelic. Hopefully we'll get it to play.
It's working.
I don't know if I'd say this is my favorite, but it's
your favorite theme song. Maybe not like your favorite cartoon.
It was my early favorite theme song.
Right.
I'm trying to get it downloading.
Oh boy.
Hold on.
Such an epic fail.
While we're doing that, I'll sing another theme song. We could
essentially this song goes la 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 la.
Oh yeah.
Very nice.
Yes. Awesome.
So anyway, a little throwback retro.
It's good stuff.
So that's our big three on this Deucecast episode 26, Dr. Earl and the Half-Blood Podcast. We're going to shoot on over to some news. We've got lots of pop culture stuff to talk about, movies and music and television. We're going to let Mikey kick off with some Star Wars news first, because there's always Star Wars news.
Actually, I don't have any Star Wars news, but I want to talk about something much more important than Star Wars news.
Yes.
Oh, Grey's Anatomy?
New Girl is the first show that got picked up for a full season plus more. So,
Zoe
Deschanel, you are my muse.
I keep missing her.
Oh, man. Obviously, America is in love.
I am in love with Zoe Deschanel.
Dude.
Yes.
Can you not wait for the Christmas album? It is going to be awesome. Is this part of the Christmas
album? I think the show's okay. I don't love it, but I don't think she's bad. I think the singing... Her, she and him singing is abysmal.
I can't remember if we talked about this movie or not, by the way.
This is garbage.
I'm looking for this CD. I can't find this CD anywhere in town.
Oh, really?
I found it at Coconuts for $17.99. I want the CD.
Oh, you want
the CD? I want to download it.
All right, guys, it's a little early for Christmas.
That's not Christmas.
No, this is Winnie the Pooh's.
That's Zoe Deschanel.
I'm with you, Dave. Yeah. I don't like it. Just download them.
Well, here's my thing. They're like, we did a CD purge, and actually, this is on the blog that I
the great CD purge of 209?
BroadwayDave.blogspot.com.
Did you burn them?
We did a CD purge where what we did was we sold a lot of CDs. I put them on iTunes and stuff. And the other ones, I kind of just got rid of the cases and put the jacket and the CDs itself into like a big book. But there's something about holding the case in your hand, being able to open it, pulling the CD out, stick it in the CD player, or whatever. There's something about
smelling it.
And I don't want to download the Winnie the Pooh soundtrack. I want the Winnie the Pooh soundtrack.
Hold it.
I want it in my hand.
Yeah.
Tangible.
And the only place I could find it was Coconuts here in town.
Your face.
For $17.99, I'm not paying $18 for that stupid thing.
Well, they do. Coconuts has always been overpriced.
Well, yeah.
I know what you mean. I mean, I've gotten, I don't know what's wrong with me this year, but I've gotten into this whole vinyl thing.
Whoa.
And I wouldn't say I'm like an audiophile by any means, but I don't know. I got Adele's record, her most recent one, her new album, on vinyl. And, dude, it sounds so good.
It's warmer.
Like, it's better than a CD, better than an MP3. It sounds
One of the only things I'm getting that I requested from my mom's house when she passed was I'm getting a flag that my dad had before he died. from his military funeral, and I'm getting her my mom's record player.
Actual
old school record player, a little wooden player or whatever, and a bunch of records and stuff. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Matt, I know you let me borrow those Pearl Jam records. I don't know when the last time you listened to them, but dude, phenomenal. They sound so good on record. I don't know.
Well, the only thing I've had to play them in was a really, really old sound system that sounded like crap in comparison to a modern surround sound system.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? That's the difference.
Yeah. And I don't even have that good of a setup. I mean, it's a really old amp that a really old receiver that I'm using and some sort of newer speakers. They're both Boston Acoustic speakers. And I don't know. Vinyl to me, it's taken me to new levels of fandom when it comes to it. It's warmer and richer.
Speaking of fandom, let's talk about the big Disney news that came out last week.
Yes, very much so.
Disney announcing this week that James Cameron and Disney have struck a deal. Disney will be building a land in Animal Kingdom based on the movie Avatar. Now, I don't mean a ride or an Avatar show or anything. I mean, they're building an actual land in the park. And to spell this out, to explain this, like if you go to Universal, Harry Potter is not a ride. It's a land. It's a section of the park devoted to that. This is what Avatar is going to be. It's a dream project slated to be built starting in 2013. They're actually working on the preliminary blueprints and things like that, the planning phases.
So they're not worried about the Mayans?
And Disney's Animal Kingdom, apparently not.
World Ending? No? Okay.
An estimated $600 million project expected to open by 2016.
You know. Right.
The attraction will be based on the film's fictional world of Pandora, including theme, food, and merchandise, rides, and entertainment. Deucecast News talked to James Cameron, and he said, I quickly realized that Disney's vision for this thing is far beyond what I could imagine. It's kind of thrilling the way they wanted to do a land and really bring the world of Pandora to life. A date has not been set for completion, but an opening sometime in 2016 will allow Disney to capitalize on the two sequels coming out in 2014 and 2015.
Which is strange because they don't even have the distribution rights to those movies. I don't know. I guess they're gaining the fact that...
Universal doesn't for Warner Brothers either.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, Harry Potter.
That's true.
You know, if you ever look at the Disney logo or the Animal Kingdom sign or whatever, you'll see like several animals silhouetted there, and one of them is a dragon and one's a unicorn. Because they were actually going to build what's called the Beastly Kingdom. When the park opened in 98, they were still working on it when it opened. And 9/11 set a lot of things back, including a lot of Disney plans they had. For example, the hat in Hollywood Studios was supposed to be taken out 10 years ago. 9/11 made it stay there just because of the recession. But back to Animal Kingdom, they were supposed to be building the Beastly Kingdom. And it was going to be this land of dragons and unicorns and just these mythical creatures. Well, I think this is what they're kind of going to put in there now. And it's where Camp Minnie Mickey is now. I think they're either going to build it instead of Minnie Mickey or they're going to build it beside it. They've got a lot of land to work with. And I was torn at first about this because I'm not a huge Avatar fan. I thought the movie looked great.
Yeah. Right.
I agree.
But the story itself was like, okay. But I'm going to kind of go to something I saw on a message board talking about Harry Potter. One guy said, I don't like Harry Potter, but the land is awesome and universal. So I guess my thing with Avatar is, even if I don't like the movie, as long as Disney makes it awesome, I'm good.
Oh, yeah.
And I think they will. So I'm kind of excited about this.
One question, though.
I think that the Animal Kingdom needs something more because you know, they got Everest. And then the majority of the other stuff they have, it's like really not very much.
Well, it's a half day park.
You know what I mean? In comparison to the others.
You can get done with it in half a day. And I think they're trying to get to something where you can stay later and longer for this. So Earl, you're about to say something?
Yeah, it needs more to it for sure.
I just want to make sure that this will be in 3D, right, this land?
It should be.
It's
going to be in 4D.
Yeah, it'll be in 4D. You can actually see it, you know.
Awesome. James Cameron will
squirt you in the face with all kinds of crap.
So anyway, it should be really, really good. I'm pretty excited.
Will there be a Navi sex simulator?
Whoa.
I saw that. Well, our
stupid explicit tag.
Oh,
dang it.
Sorry.
Wow. Anyways.
Not Disney.
Well, I do think, though, that you are going to be able to, like, take your hair and kind of wrap it around some cast members and stuff and kind of stand up with them. So, all right. So Mikey, let's talk about the Muppets, Mikey.
Yeah. I mean, what I wanted to specifically talk about, the last several years, something that movies have been incorporating into their marketing schemes. And I have really latched on to this aspect of marketing, is, you know, viral videos, just different aspects of, putting stuff out on the internet for you to follow and stuff. Cloverfield did pretty good with it. The Dark Knight, Batman Begins, they've all had these sort of like viral campaigns. I mean, Batman Begins had one where you could follow a trail of something. I don't know if you remember that, Matt, like during San Diego Comic-Con, where you would get
they had scavenger find hunt, real stuff
basically. Yeah, and a couple of cool ones that are going on right now to me are the Muppet trailers. There's a ton of different Muppet trailers that have been coming out. The most recent one, the pig with the froggy tattoo, and it's really funny. I don't know if you guys have seen it yet.
But where is it on the?
It's just on YouTube. I mean, you can find it anyway. But the reason it's sort of like a marketing type thing is because they're incorporating Trent Reznor sounding music, which is who is doing the soundtrack for, you know, Dragon Tattoo.
But the lyrics are very Muppet.
The lyrics are Muppet centric, and the trailers, like a lot of the editing of the trailer looks just like the Dragon Tattoo trailer. So really, really cool. And then a movie that I am extremely looking forward to is The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. I watched the Swedish version earlier, like last month. Very, very good. I'm sort of jumping forward because it is a viral campaign that they started. They opened up a Twitter account called Mouth Taped Shut. And all it is just behind the scenes still photos. But it's really, really cool because you're getting to see stuff that you would never see. They show like the cameras that they did like a still photo of the projector or the camera that they're using. Some like railroad tracks, things that they use to put the camera on to do those scenes like that. I mean, just all kinds of really, really cool pictures. They did one with Daniel Craig in a field, but it was just artistic pictures that they're doing. Really, really
cool.
That
was actually a picture from Cowboys and Aliens, though.
Oh, really?
I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah,
might have. No, I'm just joking.
But I don't know.
They're all the same.
I really, really like the whole concept of a viral campaign like that for movies. I latch on to that type of thing. It makes me anticipate and look forward to the movie even more. And so that's why I sort of wanted to mention that stuff.
I have no interest in The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, but I do have a lot of interest in The Muppets, so I'm very excited about that.
It's going to be good. They're both.
And I am the complete opposite. I could care less about The Muppets, but really want to see Girl with Dragon Tattoo.
Are you being serious, or are you just kind of poking me?
I am not in love with The Muppets. I don't hate The Muppets, but I mean, there's when I see a Muppet thing, I'm not like, oh my gosh, that is brilliant. Or anything.
But yeah, it is.
I know some people love it. I never have thought they were that great.
Well, I think.
But they are.
I think the thing that excites me is that and I'm a fan of Flight of the Conchords, the TV show. Director of that show is going to be directing this movie.
I didn't know that.
And I don't know if you saw the clip, but there's some humor there that kind of reminds me a little bit.
Oh, cool.
So I'm hoping the humor factor will. What's that?
I love Flight of the Conchords.
You broke up for me. Yes, thank you.
The Muppets are better.
Look, I like the Muppets.
So, I'm not putting them in competition. I'm just saying, I'm hoping the Muppets will rise to the high standard of...
I think they will. You know what that music means? It's Simba Watch!
Simba Watch.
Wow.
What the crap.
Wanted to give some background music because we did go see, my wife and I, Stephanie, we went to see The Lion King in 3D this past weekend. And it's so successful right now, actually. Yeah. They're stretching it out past the two-week mark they were going to put it out originally because it's been like the number one movie
for... No surprise there.
It's huge. I had forgotten what a great movie this is. This movie is so good. It is. And I told Steph that I didn't want to go see it in 2D at the theater because we own it on DVD. We're going to get it on Blu-ray in a couple weeks, October 7th. Go to thenewscast.com, click through the links to get to Amazon.
Of course.
And purchase your copy. That'll be on the website. But we're going to get it on Blu-ray, so we'll just see it then if we wanted to see it in 2D. I wanted to see it in 3D, and I was willing to pay the extra little bit for it. And we went to see it, and it was great. I mean, I can't really go into this big long description of how the depth was so original and the dimensions just blew me away. I mean, it just looked really, really good.
Cool.
Loved it. And, you know, of course, we knew all the songs, sang along to all the songs. Be Prepared is my favorite song from the show, from the movie. That's the bad guy song. Jeremy Irons is so good as Scar in this movie. Anyway, just overall a great film. And So go see it in the theater if you haven't. If you haven't had a chance to see it in the theater ever, go see it, even if it's 2D. I've seen it three times in the theater now. Once when it first came out. Once when it came out in IMAX for the DVD release in like 03. And then, of course, this past time. So so definitely go
see
this movie.
Dave, yeah. Do you think this is going to pave the way for doing Pocahontas 3D?
Holy crap, I hope not.
No, it's going to be Treasure Planet 3D.
Treasure Planet was not a bad film. Pocahontas was horrible.
Pocahontas was horrible.
Atlantis 3D?
Yes.
Atlantis was horrible. Either.
Mulan was
pretty
Song
good.
Song of the South 3D?
I'd watch Song of the South 3D.
Yeah, I would.
So, Matt, fill us in on some of the shows coming up. I know you mentioned Terra Nova.
Did you get to watch
Terra Nova? All those good shows.
Yeah, I
want
to see that.
Yeah, we watched Terra Nova last night, and it was a promising pilot.
So it wasn't terrible?
Sorry?
It wasn't terrible.
you know what I'm saying, like when people do these super ambitious pilots, and anytime like either J.J. Abrams or Steven Spielberg have to do with a show, the pilot's going to be insanely like huge, and they're going to try to fit a movie into the pilot, basically. And sometimes they're really good, sometimes they're a little off the mark. This one is good, but I really wonder what the show is going to turn out like. Like, it really sets up some interesting stuff. It's basically about, you know, like a future where it doesn't say exactly how. It doesn't really, I don't think it actually uses the term global warming or anything like that, but it's like, you know, mankind has destroyed the world, it's horribly overpopulated, and they discover this rift in time, I don't know, through some sort of, you know, experimentation or something, and they figure out that they can travel through the rift, and it's an alternate timeline 85 million years ago on Earth.
Are we sure it wasn't a prophecy?
no prophecies involved far. But you can go back in time.
Like the bad military guy in Avatar, he's in this one, right?
Yeah.
I can't remember his
name. He's in it, but he's a good guy so far. He's good in it. I mean, I like him a lot in it. He's not nearly as stereotypical as he was in Avatar.
Awesome.
But I think it has potential. I mean, it's really well produced, of course. And you know, it's kind of got like a little bit of a Jurassic Park vibe, but then there's a little bit more like mystery to some of the stuff and the dynamic with the family. It's kind of a fish out of water thing because everybody's coming from like they all suffer from hyperoxia when they first come through because the air is so clean.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, and they have some of them have to have put on masks that limit the amount of oxygen.
Dr. Earl, is that a real condition?
The lungs get used to it.
Is that a real condition, Dr. Earl?
Hyperoxia.
Like air that's too clean, would that be fatal to us?
Too much oxygen.
Only because we've been exposed to such global warming and climate change.
Gotcha.
As we go through the rift.
But if I go to the chiropractor, can I? Just kidding. And,
The chiropractor, they do a lot of chiropractic care as well.
You also mentioned something about a Hannibal Lecter show as well, and I was kind of curious about that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's
a deal that's in development.
Right.
And I can't remember the name of the character, but have you guys seen Red Dragon?
Which one?
Movie?
Yeah. Well, there was not...
Manhunter was the first one.
Manhunter.
That's actually the same. The book is Red Dragon.
Yeah.
And they made Manhunter based off that.
Yeah.
And then they went back.
Yeah,
and
made Red Dragon.
No,
with Anthony
Hopkins. I haven't seen it.
Edward Norton is in it. Okay, yeah. Edward Norton plays in it. Like, I guess it's an FBI or CIA agent.
I think it's Bill Crawford or something.
And he uses... This is before... I think that's Red Dragon, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. That's the first one.
Okay, but he uses Anthony Hopkins to help him track down
the serial killer,
this murderer, cannibal guy that turns out to be him, I think. But anyway, what the show's going to be about?
Spoiler alert!
Is not really, because you know that's what Anthony Hopkins does.
Bruce Willis is dead.
But anyway, what the show would be about is it's almost like a procedural show. Where, you know, Hannibal's going to exist and this cop is going to be cop or FBI agent or whatever is going to be using him to help him solve these crimes and stuff. But, you know, he's
and misdemeanors.
Everybody, the audience knows that he's like a freak, you know, and
let me guess.
I don't know. It could be interesting. It's very interesting that they've decided to even try it.
Bruckheimer, you know? CBS. Is that what we're going for?
And I think if it goes well, they're going to do a Hannibal Los Angeles and a Hannibal Miami and a Hannibal Milwaukee. And
I personally,
on the IG Entertainment podcast, they said that exact joke.
I personally have been looking forward to, and when I saw that you were going to do this, I was hoping it was going to be Vin Diesel's take on Hannibal. That's like his dream project. I've really been looking forward to it.
Yeah,
but
for some reason, that's his dream project. Just like Steven Seagal's is to do Genghis Khan.
Exactly, exactly.
I think they should collaborate and do, you know, Hannibal Khan.
No, it should be Genghis Khan versus Hannibal.
There you go. That'd I'd watch awesome. That.
I'd watch that in a heartbeat.
Hannibal versus Genghis Khan. Requiem. Yeah, HBG.
That would be awesome, wouldn't it? And Alexander, you could throw in
Colin Farrell.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
So we went to the movies last night, and of course we saw 50-50, the new movie with Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Seth Rogen.
Yep.
And let me just say, the Seth Rogen by himself, I don't think can carry a movie, like with Observe and Report, a good film.
No, I agree.
When he plays a supporting character, I think usually he comes off pretty well. 40-Year-Old Virgin was great.
Knocked Up was
pretty good. He was the lead in that as well. And of course, I like Superbad with him in it as well. He plays Joseph Gordon-Levitt's best friend. Levitt is played Adam, and Adam is a 27-year-old business guy who, you know, lives with his girlfriend, has a good life, has a good job, blah blah blah, and finds out he has cancer.
Mm-hmm. Rare
spinal type of cancer, and basically his world falls apart. And the movie kind of progresses him as he's kind of learning how to accept it, how to figure it out. He's meeting with this therapist played by the very wonderful Anna Kendrick. I love Anna Kendrick.
Yep.
His girlfriend is Bryce Dallas Howard.
Hello.
And I'm not going to spoil anything when I say this, because I think Michael and just about everybody else in the theater could pick up on this, that you knew things were going to go bad with a girlfriend when you found out he had cancer. You felt it, you knew it. And you knew that there was something maybe there with the therapist, Anna Kendrick, only because you have these two names in these roles. They're not just going to be there for the heck of it.
Spoiler alert, dude.
It's really nice spoiler. Once you see it, I think you'll get it. Seth Rogen plays Kyle.
Yeah, I'm not going to see it now.
His best friend, and doing his best to try to support Adam as best he can. He doesn't know how to do it because he never had to deal with this before. His best friend has cancer. Of course, they learn that cancer can pick up chicks. Walk up to him, say, "Hey, I have cancer." It was funny. It's rated R for a reason because of the language and things like that.
Hard R.
But no, I really, really liked the movie a lot.
Yeah, I did too. I mean, the thing that I always pick up on in a movie like this is the supporting cast has got to be good. And it really was. I mean, Anna Kendrick, I didn't really dig her that much in Up in the Air. Everybody went crazy over her.
Love her in Up in the Air.
And Up in the Air. I didn't really dig it that much. But
what about Twilight? Wasn't she in Twilight?
I haven't seen those. So
she was in Twilight.
But this is the second movie I've seen her in. And I loved it. I mean, she did really, really good in it. I don't know. The movie is not one that I would usually go to in the theater. The only reason I went is because of the free pass that I had. And I really, really enjoyed it. Yeah. I laughed. I cried. I hurled. I mean, it was. Yeah. I'm just kidding.
Well, this is Seth Rogen's second cancer movie. The first one, of course, was Funny People.
Well, that wasn't Sandler, cancer, though. That was some rare disease.
Yeah, some rare disease where he was. And then, like, halfway through the movie, he's cured of it. And it's like the whole movie premise of Funny People was built on this guy having to deal with this disease. And he gets cured halfway through it. And it's not a good film. This one was a very, very good film.
And what I was going to say is, a couple of the guys that Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character meets in the hospital, Philip Baker Hall, you've seen him at tons
great
of movies.
That guy.
Magnolia is one of the ones that I recall, you know, seeing him, that one of his larger roles was in Magnolia. And then I finally figured
out who Matt Frewer is,
Max Headroom. And in The Stand.
Yeah.
What was his character's name in The Stand? Bucket Man or
something like that.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
He's been in tons of stuff,
but I couldn't recognize him until then. But both of those guys, that their small roles really had a lot of depth.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Really, I can't recommend the movie more.
And if we're being fair, I think that I could smell an Oscar nomination for Joseph Gordon-Levitt for that. I mean, I really could. Yeah. Because there's a scene in there when he finally comes to the realization that what's going on. And it is just it's awesome. I mean, the scene itself is just fantastic.
Earl's trying to say no spoilers. Please.
So no, I'm not spoiling anything. I mean, it's he has cancer, and you
what
find, you know,
he has cancer.
Right?
What?
So
I didn't know that.
But no, I don't. I'm not saying he should win. But you know, it would not surprise me. In a fair world, as far as the Oscars go, it wouldn't shock me to see him get nominated.
Yeah, I agree.
So, Joseph Gordon-Levitt's in it. Why did you tell me that?
I'm spoiled now.
Sorry. There goes my good and there goes my in-depth movie review.
JGL, come on.
Anyway, 50-50, go see it. Buy the Blu-ray when
he's
it comes
no
out.
He's no SMG
on,
in my
on
book.
Blu-ray.
No, he's not.
All right, Mikey, Matt, you guys, do you have an office update for us?
I know Matt probably liked the episode, so I want to say real quick, it was boring to me. So anyways, go ahead, Matt.
I'm on.
I got no reason to say anything now.
Why? What did you like about it?
No, it was. I think it was great. I mean, I definitely didn't think it was. I think they've taken a very different direction.
The
overall feel. But I think that the opening with the planking.
Yeah.
I thought was very funny.
That was funny.
You know what though? Not very timely. They messed up on that, in my opinion. Planking's not really anything that anybody talks about anymore.
We only talked about it for like a week in this country.
I mean,
I swear.
Exactly. It's not. I don't know.
That's why it's the first episode of the season. They could have shown it, you know, like that's what everybody was thinking about.
All I'm saying is that
probably
they shouldn't.
The very
have,
end of their thing too.
All I'm saying is they shouldn't have tried to do a meme or whatever the crap it's called when those things like go away instantly.
Right.
I mean, anyways.
Matt, I agree with you.
I only talked about it like a month ago. I thought it was really funny, but. Anyway, but yeah, I'm interested to see how they take some of it. I thought that some of the jokes were very funny. I don't know about Robert California. He's very different.
His name's very hilarious.
Is that James Spader?
Yeah, he's pretty creepy.
It's a very different type of character for the show.
Yeah.
And then Andy is a very different dynamic as well. Like, they're trying to make him Michael Scott, you know, like the style of Michael Scott, but he's... And he's almost weird enough where he almost is, but it's not the same. So I have faith that it'll be somewhat funny. I mean, it's never going to be as good as it was, I don't think.
Right,
no,
right,
right. No.
But, I thought it was better than I expected it to be, honestly.
Yeah. It's like when Scrubs went to CBS. It just wasn't, I don't know.
It's like when Sons of Anarchy went to Ireland. It just
it's like
wasn't
when Scrubs
good.
Existed. You know, it just wasn't that good.
So the Newscast News team has uncovered a little thing here for you. Ted Haggard, the pastor and former president of the National Association of Evangelicals, who was ousted after admitting drugs and having a relationship with a male prostitute, will be trading spouses with actor Gary Busey on an upcoming episode of Celebrity Wife Swap.
Awesome.
Wow.
Haggard and Busey, who is a self-professed born-again Christian, will trade
I had
wives.
No idea this had to do with Busey.
Will
that
trade
awesome.
Wives and have cameras follow them around as the women try to reshape the other man's home and family life. Of course, Haggard was the former pastor of the New Life megachurch. He saw his life crumble after he was caught in the affair. He is now admitting that he may be bisexual and runs the non-denominational St. James Church. Gary Busey is a reality show mainstay and, of course, a favorite of the Deucecast. He also likes to rip out, endocrine systems? And
I will pull
them.
Your endocrine system out and make a hat out of it.
Well,
there you go.
Guys, I'm really excited here. I mean, I think we've got Gary Busey on Skype right now. He's in the studio. Mr. Busey, what are you saying about this wife swap thing, Mr. Busey?
Friends are enemies that go backwards.
Okay. I understand how you feel
you
about
have
that.
You have the will and the power to bring it all in.
No, okay, I get what you're saying about that, Mr. Busey, but Ted Haggard's wife...
I didn't even
wife,
know I was married.
Okay.
This is incredible.
Okay, yeah.
I didn't either.
Ted Haggard's wife...
I can't believe it.
What do you think about Ted Haggard's wife, Mr. Busey?
You know, I'm gonna be a best husband to her. I can. I'm going to try to bring her into my inner world, let her experience the power and bring it through and send it out with love and grace.
Mr. Busey, I really appreciate you. I really appreciate you stopping by, Mr. Busey. It's been really, really great. Thank you.
It is an honor.
Well, just to kind of give you an idea, our producer, Sean, who's usually in the studio, he's actually in Colorado Springs right now. He's going to be attending the Gay and Lesbian Bisexual Transgender Pride Parade this week. Hold on. Let me finish. Because he will be filming the episode of Wife Swap. He's going to be out there on reporting.
Okay,
the episode will be filming at the GLBT Pride Center in Colorado Springs. pranks. And Sean's going to be out there doing some interviews and stuff.
Okay.
So
okay.
Hopefully he's going to come back next week with interviews with Busey and Haggard, maybe some phone numbers. So, yes.
I think it's time. As iconic as Gary Busey is, Nick Cage is much more iconic to me. So, Matt, you found
Nick Cage is a vampire.
You've got some interesting Nick Cage news.
Yeah. So, like, and I don't remember the specifics because I don't have this, like, a 2 week old story now. Somebody has put up on eBay, I think, a picture they claim is Nick Cage, and it's from like the 1800s.
Yeah.
And it looks just like
it's
him.
Amazing.
And there's this whole write up of people thinking that think he's like immortal or a vampire. And
hey, I believe
that every like 50 or 60 years, he chooses a new profession, you know, and like he's like been a doctor. He's never good at any of them, basically.
My question is, why would the vampire Cage come back and be like bankrupt? Why would he choose to be in a profession and choose this lifestyle?
And why would he choose to be in Drive Angry?
Hey, that was a good movie, man.
Well, it wasn't.
Come on.
Dude, oh, Drive Angry is the bomb.
He drank beer out of a skull, dude. Come on.
What?
I don't know. I mean, my whole thing is, doesn't anybody get that this is probably just like a Photoshop thing? I mean, I don't.
Well, no, it's a real photograph. A guy named Jack. He's an antiques dealer.
He's a coincidence, I think.
From Tennessee, he found this man, and he says this man's from Bristol, Tennessee. The picture's from 1870, from the Civil War. The picture is a Civil War picture.
Huh.
You know, I guess from 1870 or whatever. This guy actually believes that Cage is a vampire who reinvents himself every 75 years or so. The Newscast News talked to this guy and said, personally, I believe it's him, that he is some sort of walking undead vampire who reinvents himself every 75 years. 150 years from now, he may be a politician, the leader of a cult, or a talk show host.
I will vote for him.
Dude,
yes.
If he was a leader of the cult, I would follow that cult.
Yeah.
You'd be a member?
The picture
instantly.
The picture now is on eBay. Any serious potential buyer would be allowed to have the photo expert of their choice examine the original photograph before any money changes hands. Huh. The photo was offered at a price of...
Sean, if I buy it, Sean, maybe he could...
Well, no, the photo was offered at a price of $1 million, but it has been since removed.
Oh, that's too bad.
Because there's a problem with the claim. Vampire experts have been saying that vampires cannot be photographed. So there's an issue with it.
It makes sense.
So, yeah.
Unless he's like a special type of vampire.
Yeah.
Which you don't know. He could be a new type of vampire.
Which could be.
Maybe he's a warlock.
He could be.
Yes.
Warlock. Do you guys understand how absolutely preposterous just the idea of a vampire is?
Yes.
And that people are so serious about it that they like have 5 billion shows about it, and they see it as being like a possibility. It is ridiculous.
We agree.
It makes no sense whatsoever.
But here's what makes sense in my life.
Wait, this isn't.
Oh, sweet Lord.
How are you sneaking this in?
Because I can. Grey's Anatomy, it's back.
Oh.
Grey's Anatomy is back.
I quit.
That's all I wanted to say. All right.
Okay, thanks. So I find myself being pretty up on all the crap that goes on.
We find yourself too.
On the internet. What the crap is Pinterest? Does anybody know what that is?
I still don't know what Google Plus
Stephanie
is. I'll be honest
with
you.
She loves it.
What is it? What is
it's
Pinterest?
It's a website.
Okay.
I guess it's like an app or... like a social deal like Facebook. I think it works with Facebook.
Okay.
And what you do is you have like an idea or something, and people can comment and add to the idea. Like, I don't know much more than that, but
it's
when people are trying to figure out a recipe or something.
Yeah, a Facebook think tank.
It's what it's like. And it really is. It's like that.
All right. So Wikipedia, which is always right.
Yeah, they're always
says,
right.
Says Pinterest is a vision board styled social photo sharing website where users can create and manage theme-based image collections. Users label and create theme-based image boards. They can populate their own boards with media found online using the pin it button. Pinterest also allows users to follow other Pinterest users. Let's see. It started in 2009. Beta status March.
Yeah.
Beta status in March 2010. And it
yeah, it took me a while to piece that together too.
When I first saw it,
yeah,
okay,
like,
I'm catching it.
Crap.
When I first saw it, I thought it was like a Matt Pinfield fan club.
No, I thought it was. I thought it was pint.
I was hoping it was.
I thought it was pint earist, and I thought it was something about measurements. I don't know. Time magazine has published Pinterest in its 50 best websites of 2011 column.
It's going to be the man of the
it's
year.
No, I think Mike. I know you said like the people have too much time on their hands, but I think for unlike Facebook. Pinterest, from the people I've talked to that have used it, is actually like a productive thing because it like you can actually get like do something with it. Like, you know, you're putting something together. It's not just like God bless blah blah blah. You know, or something. You know, like
my Pinterest
whatever
is
it is.
If you agree, repost.
Oh, hey, speaking of today, I was looking. I'm not going to say who this is, but a lady who is a mother of a former fellow youth group member put up a picture that was supposed to be like God's hands in the clouds.
I've seen that picture.
Like coming down and like the fingers like wrapping, almost like the
speaking of Photoshop.
Like a good not the State Farm, but you know the.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
A good the hands together
all state,
thing.
Yeah.
It's like that, but you could clearly see the pixelization or the pixelation with the fingers. And she was like, "I can't believe this really happened. Oh my
gosh, didn't.
The Lord really is blessing us," or something like that. I'm like,
"Please don't do that again."
Is the Lord pixelized in the clouds? I mean, does he only use block shaped clouds form his fingers, or what?
Well, I mean, if there was anybody that needs to be pixelized in the clouds, it's Steven Seagal.
So, ooh, nice segue.
That's true.
It was a really bad segue, really.
I'm Pinterested.
It was somewhat, wasn't it? Well, I've got some short Seagal news. As you guys,
she's the best kind of
probably,
Seagal news.
Yeah, as you guys probably had no idea of, UFC 135 occurred recently. And, you know, Steven Seagal has trained several MMA fighters UFC.
Yeah.
And John Jones apparently is one of them. I have no idea who the crap that is. But he apparently denied Steven Seagal entry to his, like,
dojo?
Corner.
Oh.
What?
Because he thinks Steven Seagal hogs all the credit.
There's about to
and,
be a beat
down. So he doesn't want to train with Steven Seagal because he doesn't want... I don't know. It's bullcrap.
If this was the WWE, there would be a fight brewing.
There should be.
Yeah.
There should be a fight brewing.
That's because the WWE is real. This is UFC crap is scripted and staged. It sucks.
I think somebody's headed for a beatdown from Steven Seagal.
From Steven Seagal, right.
Exactly. Yes. They deserve it. That's what they deserve. But, yeah,
did you hear
anyway,
that Steven Seagal's going to be on Glee this season?
That's the Seagal news, pretty much.
No, he's not.
Yeah, Seagal's going to be on Glee. It's going to be awesome.
Dude, come on.
Just kidding.
Don't dishonor.
Don't dishonor Seagal.
So that's a good place to wrap up, I think, with Steven Seagal and Glee. Don't forget to search for us on iTunes, subscribe to us, leave us some good reviews, tell us how awesome we are, hunt us up on Stitcher, and subscribe
Stitcher,
to the
dude.
Show there. It's free if you subscribe to the show on Stitcher.
Yeah.
We'd and like our that. Pinterest
Yeah,
thing.
I just downloaded Pinterest on my phone. I have no idea.
Is.
I'm going to kind of play with it and see what happens. We're on Facebook, too. Come on over and like us, please. Find us on Twitter and also give us a call on 205-6269. Fun. Leave us a message. Like tonight, we'll play it on the air. All the stuff you hear on today's show can be yours. Go to www.thedeucecast.com. Click on the Amazon links and go to Amazon to buy stuff. Take an extra 35 seconds to buy the stuff that you were going to buy already. And it gives us a few bucks here and there for the show, which we desperately need so we can hire ourselves a permanent person to stay here all the time and tweak our knobs here on the soundboards.
And Sean would definitely want us to mention the app is coming.
Absolutely. The app is coming. The Deucecast app, which is going to have bios and music and shows and all kinds of fun stuff.
We'll have Pinterest integration.
You know what? We're gonna create
we're gonna create
a Deucecast Pinterest.
Oh, God.
So that's it for the Deucecast, episode 26, Dr. Earl and the Half-Blood Podcast. Join us next week when the big three, I'm just going to call it Hosts Acting Choices, and I'll explain that a little later on.
Okay.
The Smorg will return. The music will return. More fun and frivolity for all on the Deucecast, episode 27. Steven Seagal and the Podcastly Hallows coming next week. I'm your host, Dave, bidding you a very avatar-y goodbye, saying goodbye to Dr. Earl.
Thanks for having me, guys, as always.
And saying goodbye to Matt up in the noob.
And farewell, everyone.
And this is Mike, and you've just taken your weekly Pinterest.
My name is Sheikh Zula, the Mike ruler, the old schooler. You want a trip, I'll bring it to ya. Frylock, and I'm on top. Rock you like a cop, meet wad. You're up next with your knock knock. Dancing is forbidden. Dancing forbidden. Meet what, make the money see. Meet what, get the honeys G. Driving in my car, living like a star. Ice on my fingers and my toes, and I'm a Taurus. Check, check it, yeah. Check, check it, yeah. 'Cause we are the awkward teens. Make the homies say ho, and the girlies wanna scream. 'Cause we are the awkward teens. Make the homies say ho, and the girlies wanna scream. Awkward teen hunger force, number one in the hood. Jeez.